The tuning score. You know, I mean, it's when I'm talking to people who I'm doing it with, and it's, it seems fine.
Yeah.
But I remember having to name it quickly, you know, for a gig. Otherwise, wouldn't have. It would have remained nameless. But it's a perfectly adequate description, because the activity is not about directing. It has a, you know, has all of the earmarks of a directing score, but it's not. The activity really is to tune in what's already there, rather than.
It's a great thing. I first hear it today, and it sounds great. I mean, it's very beautiful.
It's very natural. Yeah, it's a very natural game. But it's very still challenging and complex. I always say I never get good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never played a game like chess, for example, where I would think that on a level you could never get good at it either. I mean, that your personal challenge is always
mm-hmm.
right in front of your face. I know much more how it works, but I still find that it's the same challenge every time I'm faced with it.
This name came up around about, when was that, when you had to name?
Yeah, probably somewhere around when we did the first observatories in New York. Maybe it was 94 or something. 94, probably.
But while retroactively, it can relate to many of the exercises you've been.
We were practicing the very score for 4 years before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Showing it in a formal setting. I don't think we called it anything. We had the single image score. And then we had all these tools we used on the single image score. And that one name was sufficient as a starting place. I would have to look that up, I'm not quite sure. If anything I just said is true, it's my memory.
Would you already use, when working with Image Lab, would you use the word score, like single image score?
Mm-hmm.
So the word score
single
was pretty
score
much
was
around.
A single image score.
Yeah.
Oh, the word score had been around way before.
But in your work?
Well, when I make things,
yeah.
I always made a score. It was a normal word. Probably. I think it was a normal word for making structures for dances. I'm not a regularly used word. I cannot pinpoint a time when it had a self-consciousness
mm-hmm.
about the use of the word. Because people often use the word structure.
Yeah.
But the structures were different than scores, always.
Interesting. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, structures were, or structures are, or the way I think of structures.
Yeah.
a structure, sort of the architecture of the activity. So you might say, this, like part has a structure. It has solo, duet, and that kind of describes very...
part is a piece.
Right, it's a dance.
A dance. Dance piece.
A dance piece. Yeah, that has a structure because it's very... Yeah, solo, duet is kind of structural. It's not really a form. It's not... It sort of describes some very broad... It's a very broad description of maybe the form of what can happen in time. And then within that structure, for example, I would use these words. I would say Steve and I each have our own score. And that would mean that, well, this was an unspoken score. I would have my own score and he would have his own score, and it was not something we shared. I don't think we ever asked each other what our scores, our individual score was. So a score would be maybe more of a set of conditions or relationships, defined, a chosen or defined set of relationships, which could be maybe looked at as instructions for action. Not necessarily tasks, but relationships, like, yeah, the color green and orange. You might score, gosh.
That's interesting. So you give
score,
the example.
Maybe you could say a score might be the relationship in terms of near and far. So you'd be dealing on the sagittal plane, on the, you know, on the plane that goes far from you and close to you, of these two colors. So you'd say, maybe, well, that's a broad score, but it would be a score. It's working with the relationship between these two colors, close and far from the picture plane, or I mean, often interior scores that I would work with, I would often find them right before performance, an internal score, because I'd have to find them. If I was working within an agreed upon set of conditions or score with other people, I would have to find one for myself, and it would have to be found close to the moment of action, because I couldn't impose one on myself. So there's always sort of the current conditions, and finding a score to follow. So it's a set of instructions. Instructions isn't an easy word.
What are you saying? It's not...
Instructions is not an easy word to translate into, but it's a set of relationships that you can sustain, and because you sustain the relationships, then you can act from that.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting, because
that's the way I would use the term.
That's very helpful, because you make, by emphasizing relationship, it moves away from task-oriented instructions where you could say, go on stage, eat an apple,
right,
swipe the
floor. That would be tasks. That would be tasks.
Yeah.
And very important to
distinguish
that.
Yeah.
From the score.
People do use it often when they say, like, I made
yeah.
a score, and very often it could be read as a sequence of task.
Well, yeah, that could be a score.
Yeah.
Well, in the same way that musical scores can be
yeah.
written in any way you like.
Yeah. But that's not the way you use the
That's not the way I usually.
That's good too.
I have a slightly different use for scores, I think. But if I did write a list of tasks, I would probably call it a score, too. Like, here's the score. It's also something that maybe it's time-based. So, like, you might do one score for 10 minutes, and you might do another score for those same... You might be doing two scores at once for those 10 minutes, but the duration might be 30 minutes for this... For the other score, score B.
Sorry, I'm not sure if I'm following here.
Uh-huh.
So it would be the same score, but it might as well be for a 10-minute performance as
right.
for a 30-minute.
Oh, no, I was
no.
saying that the score,
okay.
it's a score would be time-based, so you...
Okay, but in the score
you could
have
more than one score happening simultaneously. That's what I was saying. One of the scores might only last 10 minutes of the 40 minutes, and the other score might last the whole 40 minutes.
Okay.
But, so each score, it seems like it needs to have a time frame.
Yeah. That's indeed very... Like a common denominator
yeah.
for how many people have been using.
Yeah. And maybe also I think also very musically. I might just automatically have transferred those words from my musical background to. So there's a little bit of a sense when I use them. I still retain that sense of what a score might be in music.
Okay.
I have a new pair.
It's okay.
Yeah. So.
If you would trace that word, I mean, we could speak about how it functions in your work and how you define it and how it becomes more specific. We could also zoom out and say, how is the word score traveling in your working environment? And is that, or now you've mentioned...
Well, I do hear it used
in
all, I hear the word structure used interchangeably.
With score, mm-hmm.
without a big concern on anybody's part.
System sometimes.
Yeah,
is another
game.
One. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to ask what,
yeah.
you know, what the specific is, and then you. I don't think it has a fixed.
Definition. No.
It is a framework. No matter which word is used, it's usually a framework in which some action occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the piece, the ballroom,
yeah.
which was a single action score.
Not a single image, but
right.
a single action.
We had a very simple score. One person entered the space and as instantaneously as possible, defined a unit of activity which they sustained. And they sustained it while the other person looked at the space, and then the second person would enter the space with the same, they would in a way complete the image with also a unit of action, a single unit of action, repeat. And before that action transformed or transmuted or decayed, one or the other of the players would call end, and that was it. And then the space cleared, and then the next one began. So it was a bit of an accumulation, empty space, sustained action, and then a second, a completion to the action.
Yeah.
And that was the starting place. And so often scores are starting places.
Yeah.
So that might go on for... My experience with the way I use scores is usually the starting place is the most... It's the purest moment or the purest period of time. And then there's something then that starts to move because of following those rules or rigorously respecting those limitations. And then something happens because of that. And the idea isn't to inhibit the something that happens. The idea is that that's the whole point, is that you wait and you sustain the activity until something happens. But I'm working very physically, so the something that happens is coming from a kind of a physical imagination,
rather than an image.
Could
you give, say, one example of something that you would say, that's what I call something is happening?
Well, there's a point which you're... well, for one thing, what starts to happen is you forget, you don't forget the limitation. In ballroom, what would happen is we would stop instead of mutating or transforming, you know, where you go like this for a long time and it either, you know, it gets chaotic or something happens physically. Well, we were inhibiting, inhibiting the external transformation, not inhibiting the internal transformation. So, so a kind of inhibited transformation of the surface values, so that the interior action. It would become compelling. So what would happen next after a certain period is not that the thing would start to develop into ongoing changing shorter and shorter units, ongoing changing shorter and shorter units of movement, but the shifts to completely other action, sustained action, would happen without us being able to even call the end, or call, we actually did it with numbers, but call the end of one action. And so the space would stop clearing in between. Because that was part of the score, was that the space emptied after each completion.
Wipe the slate.
Yeah, wipe the slate. So then there was always an entrance. There had to be an entrance in order to... I mean, the entrance actually wouldn't have to be someone walking into the space. the entrance could be from right where you were. And the exit places were not defined. I could say these things were all known. I mean, they were all known as part of the score. Yeah, there would just be a moment in which this activity would
complement.
It would like become the motor would start running to where you were patterned neurologically and organized to shift from a discrete action, from one discrete sustained action to another. Over time, I mean, it could be 4 or 5 minutes of sustaining the action. They weren't usually very short, but some of them were very short. But, yeah.
Nice to work with this. It makes it very interesting. If this is already a first action,
mm-hmm.
being observed,
mm-hmm.
and the second person comes in to complete that
mm-hmm.
action with another
mm-hmm.
action, and each of those actions are sustained,
mm-hmm.
would the first person try to relate,
mm-hmm.
or it would also just within its own track sustain?
Mm-hmm. Both would sustain.
Both. So it was not so much about
it
reacting.
It was so that, well, so
again.
That, actually, so this caused, by sustaining, it
yes.
caused something to happen between the two. How you knew it was end was a sense that this space between, or you know, it's hard to say, that space between the two actions got really fat.
Yeah.
And it was another sense of measuring how long it takes to see something.
Yeah.
But not to see this or this, but to see
this.
Something happen in the space. Something change in the space. And I guess just the practice of looking at things, just seeing how long it takes before something. When something doesn't seem to be changing, of course it's changing, because
yeah.
I mean, we're human, we're not machines, but we were sustaining it as close to the original as possible. Yeah. And surface values, and but when it got fat is when, before it started to decay or transform, before one or the other of us would
yeah.
feel compelled to relate or to respond.
Interesting,
it had to end.
That's such a strong automatism to respond or to...
Right, so it's very, the discipline, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, it's like a kiss, you know, where you retard the climax of touch, you know, the touch. It's like suspending.
Yeah.
It's more about suspension of, you know, how long you can hold this, you know, right? It's familiar, yeah. But there's you could feel. I feel
yes.
it when I watch it.
Yeah.
I feel there's a suspension rather than a
yeah.
transformation, and in a way, this space is what the space between, or you know, it's not always perceived as between because if the image is placed in space,
yes,
you know, so that one is behind the other, so you don't. You're not measuring that space,
no.
But still it's two things.
You're measuring what that does to the whole...
To the whole space, and to your space. Yeah,
space.
The space of your own expectation, or sense of...
So in terms
sense
of
what will happen next.
This question, what is the thing you could say that what is happening, it would be always... Just larger than this.
Yeah, it charges
it
the
charges.
Whole space, because actually there's nothing. Well, this could also be a movement, you know, it could be a traveling activity.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them. But it also, because it's also done in time, everything is accumulative. So, you know, if the first action was a stillness, for 2 minutes. Wouldn't that be nice? My sense of the second action is going to complete that whole first image, that whole first action. So it's so the completions are ongoing. It's it's an accumulation. But when the score gets programmed into the body and in the space, it breaks. It starts to break its own rules. And it like gets on a roll. And then seeing where the roll will go is part of it. So the score is like a starting point. Even though the start might take 30 minutes and the goal might only be 5.
Yeah. Could you give an example of what it would mean in this context of this score to break the rule?
Well, one of the ways it might break is that there wouldn't be a clear
entrance.
There wouldn't be a clearing of the space.
Yeah, it would just...
That one would just start to overlap.
Right.
And that the shifts would start to happen.
Yeah.
Without that measure. And, yeah, it's just an interesting sensation of being. Where the score kind of is playing you rather than you're playing the score. And then if you're just rolling. Well, it's like playing ping pong. It's another physical thing. But sometimes you're playing the ping pong and you're hitting it back and forth with somebody. And you recognize each move. You know, like you're aware of each move, and they have character. You know, someone slices it, and then the other one slams it, and you're very aware of. And then suddenly you get on a roll, and the thing just starts going back and forth, and there's no... you don't know. It's like the ball is playing you. So there's something about working with a score that I feel in terms of the dance... making, working with a score, that I like to create a kind of a score that sets up these relationships of action and attention. It's also a relationship of attention. There's always a part to play for the movement of the attention. And that there's a nature to it. I kind of like to look into the nature of what that go is when the thing gets going. What is its nature? What is it? Yeah, what can it make happen? And that's the unknown part.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with the tuning score. I mean, it's really just a starting point to both. With that, it starts, it defines the material using the kind of editing tools, defines the material, but it's defined by the group. It's not defined by any one individual. And it's defined by the feedback system of showing what we see to one another. But there's a point at which, though, it just, the calls just disappear. There's a roll, and then there's a recognition of what the material.
It's very interesting, because that's precisely what Boris Chamat said after the performances in Beaubourg in Paris.
Oh.
That he could see that happening at some point. Something would take off, and the score, although it had fed everything so far, and would continue feeding, because that's what just happened. But you would see the score somehow disappear.
Yeah.
And so he saw that happen night after night. Maybe two. So he suddenly started realizing that that seemed to be part of its life.
Yes.
And he said, oh, that's a pity.
Wow.
You know what
well,
I mean?
It was a pity, because actually it wasn't... the skill wasn't there.
Yeah.
Because it just rolled out. You know, more. It was like it rolled out like into free improvisation land.
Which is a very different thing.
It's very different.
Really
different thing. It's the illusion of inhibition, which is so delicious when you're, you know, watching someone, well, also interacting with your own watching, seeing what possibilities and choices that are inhibited by something. It's how to keep that illusion alive, even if the thing goes on a roll, just opens up and goes into free play. And that's what I feel like I never get good at. It's just, it's a mysterious, it's so obvious when it drops off. And of course, I mean, it was great that we even got is that far,
yeah.
And it was, but it did happen every time, and particularly with the audience there, because the motors were running too fast. But it really was a very short time we were working. This time, in the showing we did at the end, we showed a few times, but at the end, there was a lot more restraint in the showing.
You're speaking about...
And it just now in Girona.
In Girona.
But still, it was very delicate. It was a very fragile hold. But there was a kind of a interest on everybody's part, unspoken, to not just let it run away.
Yeah.
That was just that was a fortunate agreement.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't an exciting performance on a certain level, because the inhibition also translated into a little bit of a lack of energy. You know, where the there's a certain amount of inhibition that'll just take away your energy. Just we're all familiar with that, but it just so there are a few hundred skills of how to keep alive your body.
Yeah.
When you're also doing so much, inhibiting so much action.
Yeah.
That was the first thing Vera talked about, like barely after 2 or 3 days working, is just working with things like reverse or having anything interrupted, her flow interrupted in any way, was that her motor would die instantly. And so she was focusing on the puzzle of how to keep her motor running.
She found a solution, apparently.
Well, she found some solutions. I think it was still, you know, looking.
Yeah,
I mean, it was still a very short period.
Yeah, for many dancers to sort of have their motor running and then have to deal every time with something that somehow castrates or intervenes or impedes. So it's a dialogue with that constraint at that moment, and kind of use that again to refuel imagination. What the switching? It's a lot of switching and
There's a lot of switching from activity to. Well, within it also switching from having a forward motion to suddenly someone saying reverse, and how to keep that forward motion without slowing down. It's an energetic practice, because most of the time the movement doesn't mean shit. It just doesn't mean anything. It's an organization, but it's the organization that happened rather than that. It's not the same as me organizing my tongue to try and explain something. So it's kind of trying to look at movement as speech in the sense if there's a kind of effort to organize it. But it's very abstract. It's abstract, but actually your body isn't abstract to you at all. So every action has a consequence in the body. So the score also is being used to kind of define other units of movement, of your own movement. So if someone reverses you from there, you know, it's like a surprise to your system to reorganize, but it also has meaning. It kind of gains meaning to the viewer also, because suddenly it seems important. Not so psychological, but it's just not important in a psychological way, like she wants to get to the other side of the room, but it actually makes something happen in my body when I'm watching. It reminds me of something as kind of an associative, a kinesthetic associative. And these are the areas that I'm most... But it does take a bit of practice to get your nervous system to hear something like reverse or replace and keep the energetic part moving.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what the movement is. Who cares what the movement is? The movement could be anything. But if you're experiencing it, then it starts to mean something in the body. And it links up with the imagination. Whack! It kind of helps enforce associational imagination.
It looks like you're sometimes more interested in the intelligence of the mover dealing with its organizations and its imaginations more than the movement as such. It's more... Is that... Correct rephrasing?
Well, not really.
No.
I mean, it's a lot of fun and it's fascinating to watch somebody in the process of organizing.
Yeah.
I do love that.
Yeah.
But it's when you're really aware of the organization is when the movement gets very full.
Yeah.
That's why that it's example of defining a unit that isn't a habitual pattern.
Yeah.
It's a possible pattern, it's just not. You think the phrase ends when the arm comes here, but if it only ends, well, even there, that was organized for me. It was either here or here, but somewhere in between here, it's not organized. And if I ride that, it's like constantly seeing the body come into focus, but not like from this, sorry to give negative examples, not from like a kind of sense of chaos or disorganization that is flaccid, that doesn't have any
form.
Real energy in it. Yeah, it just is messy.
Yeah.
It's a kind of in-between moment.
Yeah, that's something.
It seems to have a different taste than actually being aware or having your attention on the disorganization. But then the disorganization has presence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe it's also about the presence of movement.
Yeah.
And not just like the presence of a person.
That's a hard one.
Because you see movement is so interesting. Trying to find ways to provoke there are many ways to provoke it, I mean, that are much less kind of invasive, but this is a communication game, so it's that's where it comes in through that reflection of other people looking and expressing their taste or their desire. So the score is like an excuse.
It's a great excuse, an alibi.
Yes. Oh, but when I was giving the description of that score of Ballroom with Danny, there had to be another score. I needed to have a personal score.
For being in that score?
Just to be in my body.
And
to be in that score.
Oh,
well, that's what I mean. I have to find it
yes.
right before the performance.
Just one possible example. Of
yeah.
What you it's just so.
Well, it's the same. I know.
So
it's the same with any performance.
Yeah.
I mean, it. Well, the relationships I often find in my own. Body are definitely, it's, an easy place for me is working from my eyes. So if I can define an attention, a tuning of my attention, literally through the way I'm using my vision, then my body has a set of instructions. It can compose itself around that. And if I can have that as a starting place, the same thing, if I can have that as a starting place for maybe the first even 5 minutes of interacting, then that score will, then I let my score transform or mutate.
Yeah.
But the,
or unravel.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. I mean, hopefully it doesn't decay and leave me with nothing.
So an example would be.
Gosh, I don't know whether it's even translatable into language. What happens when the?
I know some, but.
Well. Well, a kind of common one that has gone for 30 years for me. Is this relationship between the movement of my vision and my movement. But the root of the movement is from the eyes. And it's just an easy place for me.
Yeah.
It's a little bizarre, so I try not to. It creates a kind of a character. And I've tried to minimize the actual action that is visible to the audience. To do it smaller, but still strongly enough so that my movement can be rooted.
Yeah.
Rooted, it just completely engages my my physical imagination in a very present. I don't kind of store them because I find them right before I go to move. I'm in a performance. And sometimes it's a desperate search. another one is, I got another one. Another one, just this evening, is right before a performance, I go out on the street or I go somewhere where there are a lot of people. And I look around. Often there's somebody I see who has some fantastic way of walking. Or some very fantastic, I catch them trying to sit down or something. Just something that just grabs me. And that can give me the starting point. So I grab, it just goes right in. It's like, I got it. And because I can feel it when I look at, you know, it's kind of this automatic imitation thing. You just go, oh, God. See that lady with the bag and the little dog or something. You see. And it just, and so it's so immediate and it tastes so good. That if I can get it, if I could just get it, I can keep it. I understand its attention, you know, how it's tuned in the body, then it just have a starting place. And actually walks are very good, finding a walk is a very good starting place. Something that moves me through space. That's a good example.
It's a wonderful example.
And if I'm alone and I have nobody and there's nobody around, then sometimes I get desperate. But I have to find it in my body, something that, a place of kind of ease, of grace, you know, an easy entry that has the right combination of weird and interesting for me.
Yeah, it's sometimes hard because I see you also. Very often you're coordinating a project and organizing so many things right before you even go on stage and performance, so it gives you very little space.
It's a distractionary tactic that isn't so good.
Yeah, I can.
But anyway, so that might be just an inner score that gets a starting place, like the. But the tuning score has the micro level, and it also has kind of larger measures. It's all about measuring time. Time it takes to see, the time it takes for an image to appear. And then the larger forms, like chapters, defining chapters, creating, you know, larger forms for the group to communicate. Like last week, we were doing chapters to define larger measures of form, and at some point chapter 3 went by and the next chapter was chapter 10. So it just skipped all the chapters in between. So when I guess I said begin chapter 10 after the end of chapter 3. You know, we hadn't agreed about anything like that, but everybody knew what that meant.
It's like gearing to a...
Yeah, I mean, trying to use the language, take the language of the score, but be able to say, okay, let's just do a jump cut. And those are also devices for keeping the thing alive, keeping the players on their toes. Or you could start the whole run with an epilogue instead of end it with an epilogue.
If you were to explain to someone who doesn't know your work at all what the tuning score is, how would you do that? How would you go?
Usually I focus on it being a communication system.
Yeah,
I usually say, well, it's a communication system for an ensemble.
You know,
for a group, a communication and feedback system for a group of players. And if anybody knows what that means, I have no idea. Usually, there are tools, communication tools. And that's about as far as I can go.
And it's a system, and you provide the players with tools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you would list some of those tools, then...
The tools are two things. The tools are actions, are the actions of the performers, and calls, which are, for the most part, simple editing calls, like pause, reverse, replace, much like a kind of choreographic language. What you can do with bodies in space. Even though it seems like a video player language, it's really choreographic language. What can happen with movement? Movement can stop, movement can go. That's one major thing. There's, you know, what else can movement do besides stop and go?
It can indicate, some calls relate to the formations. So when you say replace,
yeah,
there's a change of cast.
Yes, and also the weight of the image shifts based on who, well, how much of the image is replaced.
Yeah. And what's left.
If what's left, what disappears from the space.
Each call is actually having so many possibilities again,
mm-hmm.
or can be applied to on so many levels.
Yeah, and they can be called for very different desires. They can be the answers to many different desires.
Mm-hmm.
So it tries to have as few calls as possible. And that's just been the experience. So that the less calls, the more you work with the tools rather than just have any old call you want at any time. Well, like on a video machine, you can pause, you can reverse, you can advance, you could go fast forward, you could go slow. And that's about all you can do. In the tuning score, we're not using all those calls because they don't have relevance, as much relevance. But it's still a limited number of calls.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to you. That's why I say the actions are tools also.
Mm-hmm.
Because each action is a proposition.
Yeah.
It's a piece of language. I mean, it's a part of language. It's a word, or it's a phrase. It's an image. But it gets too complex, actually. It gets so much more complex, even in its simplicity, it gets very complex. Over the time of playing, it starts simple and then it...
That's why somehow the simplicity of duets and solos and the smaller formations are so...
Tasty,
because, you know, you get so dazzled by the complexity that... It's like, it goes quite fast, even though you would start with very simple premises. When there's eight people...
Constantly showing, we're showing each other what we're seeing. That's basically all we're doing, replaying and showing each other what we're seeing. But there's a reduced call, which is really classic, because if it's too busy for you and you want to reduce, either if you're inside and starting to get so disorganized, or from the outside. The reduced call is made to the whole image, so each person decides whether they're the excess or not. So you're very lucky if you get the thing that you really wish, you get the mess out of the way and leave something that you really think is the gem of the space. It's very interesting if that gem stays there or not, or whether you lose that gem, and then some messy thing that you'd been wishing wasn't there stays, and suddenly that becomes, when it's left there, it becomes sometimes very strong. But it's up to each player to assess the whole image and decide whether it's time for them to go or stay. That's very suspenseful and it's quite surprising. It's almost never happened, but it has happened that everybody's left on a reduced call.
Everyone felt redundant at that moment.
Right, or has some kind of lack of confidence.
It's very strong to stay once someone said reduce.
Yeah. They, oh! Yeah.
You really start making a statement in terms of staying. It's like you're...
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm
nothing,
you know,
extra about me.
This doesn't concern me or what I'm doing, so...
But also, you feel the whole space moving. You start to maybe feel someone leaving, etc. So sometimes you hold your ground, even though you... Because you just weren't fast enough to get... to get out. The whole things disappear and something is left behind. And you retain the image of the whole. It's kind of amazing.
That may explain why sometimes when I was thinking of the tuning score and try to describe it, that okay, I could sort of trace it back to the beginning of the 90s. The ballroom, image lab, etc., etc. But overall, I feel it's a synthesis of 30 years of practice.
Oh, for sure.
Because
it came right from the early video scores.
Yeah.
All of them were made then. All the little scores were made.
Yeah.
For working with video and
dance,
looking at what a feedback system is.
It's a great synthesis. Somehow it's kind of logging all of those steps and learning moments and keep on track of them and integrating them in what became, okay, the tuning score.
Yeah, this other activity.
Yeah. Even like an exercise of learning a dance through touch or through art, hearing, that's something you've been practicing. I mean, so for me, it feels like I like this word sedimentation, but it's like a lot of sedimentation that it's a bank of experience that you draw from and made into exercises or...
At each point along the way,
a
score became a tool for another learning another score.
Yeah. Like the single... image score can be part of the tuning score if you decide to start in
You're
that
right.
way, or
mm-hmm.
the single action score could be as well. I see tuning score as a great bank.
Mm-hmm. But that's why, even when you see, like me, for the first time, small exercises, you see one word, one entire world.
Yes.
I mean,
a world of a possibility.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is an extrapolation of all of the kind of experiences of collaboration, of dialogue. It's very familiar, the processes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, well, for me, it was just trying to find a way to be in collaboration with a group, which I just find completely horrifying. And but looking at the model of a one-on-one or a two, you know, three-person collaboration and how the dialogue occurs.
In that respect, I have a question. There's something about this willful inadequacy of a call sometimes. Like, okay, you know what you're making the call for. You see something and you think, wouldn't that be great if just three more people were leaving? I mean, and I wanted to preserve this and, okay. This is your desire, yeah? And this desire, you try to get to by saying reduce. You know exactly what you want to be.
You're right, you want to erase
some
erase some part of the image.
And yet you don't specify erase Charlie, Antonia, Carmen.
Yeah, we did that for years.
Okay.
Yeah. Something about this talking to the whole image. Somehow it's just a period.
It's a period.
It's just a period.
But talking to the whole image, you mean just
yeah, so that you can only speak to the whole image.
Yeah.
Because it's just that edge of the shift between directing and tuning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we did all of that. In fact, we had fantastic times where we would name, like you'd say, erase elephant race, or you'd say lose. We loved the word lose. In English, it's a nice thing to say. You know, lose the objects, or you'd say, that means get them out of the space. You'd say, lose the elephant race, and you'd kind of name what you were seeing that you wanted out of the picture rather than name Charlie and
yes.
Scott.
You'd
name the image. Say, lose the cold spaghetti-os, you know, because maybe there would be two people on the floor going like this, and then you'd see, that was great fun. And that was more interesting than saying, get, you know, exit Charlie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that aspect of trying to talk to the image, I mean,
to it,
to the specifics
yeah.
of the image, had still, it had a wonderful quality.
Yeah.
And
never
yeah,
seen.
No, because we
yeah.
did so many things
yeah.
with words and, oh,
yeah.
so many things. So, I mean, that, I wouldn't stop that from coming back in. It's
yeah.
just that in the beginning, that limitations are really, really useful. So you kind of see there's to give every player the dignity of not being bossed around by somebody just having some kind of to keep that lively dialogue between the inside and the outside constantly shifting. The practice of talking to the whole image, addressing the whole image, helps to get that trust and
yeah.
and also it keeps the suspense and the surprise. And I mean, people want to exit without it being, you know, called it too. So, I mean, that starts to happen earlier on.
Yeah.
Or you'd say, and the opposite of lose or delete or erase part of the image, you might say sustain Rocket Man. And then he might call it reduce on the rest of his space.
See, people go, am I the Rocket Man?
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen. Yeah, you'd be amazed. You'd
is
be
this
so,
Rocket Man?
You'd try and be so...
You'd
say, how could... You'd try and think of something that nobody could possibly miss, and then you'd say it, and all the wrong people would leave.
Again, there's a play with something that is just a bit more indeterminate in terms of what, you could pinpoint it exactly, but you create a call that's just a bit more. That's interesting. I've been studying now more John Zorn's improvisation games, and it's not working in that way at all. It can be totally very specific in terms of.
Oh, it's, yeah,
yeah
well,
yeah.
The only one I know is Cobra.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. He has some more,
but
that's...
Yeah, and Cobra is a war score.
Yeah, it's guerrilla and leadership being contested and not, and And this is a whole different notion.
You know, this is like the opposite. I'm
yes.
a woman, he's a man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I try to... I met a conductor.
I love Cobra. I mean, what I've seen. Oh, God, so exciting.
What do you love about it, then?
Well, I've seen people playing it who might not
yeah.
know it as well as
no,
his group knows
yeah.
it. I mean, his
yeah.
when he directs it. Just so dynamic. And the desire of the musicians was just
yeah.
fantastic. I mean, they were just,
sure.
it was just wild.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't like he plays it either. It's just wild, incredible, direct. Well, they're communicating with one guy, right,
yeah,
who holds
the
cards up. Right, but
yeah.
there's like a lot of aggressive behavior.
Yeah, yeah. It's very
thrilling.
I asked if there's sometimes women conducting because of that male...
I've seen it with women and men, all the musicians.
I mean like prompting, the prompter
But
women?
The prompter is just taking his cues from the musicians. Or in this version that
yeah.
I saw.
Yeah.
He's got to be scanning constantly in first
yeah.
person. I mean, if two people are vying, of course, yes, he has to make a judgment call, but... He was the least visible to me.
Right, okay.
In the configurations
yeah.
I saw. Because, you know, Karen Nelson, there was
yeah.
a Cobra group in Seattle, and she took her tuning group, and so they were
merged
at the same time. They didn't exactly merge.
Okay.
Because nobody was
interested in
yeah,
merging.
Yeah, interested in merging. But it would have been interesting if they had merged.
Yeah.
I think that once you learn it, you could do anything with it. I mean, the separating of people, that it's just still on the learning curve to create the ensemble, because so much in improvisational gatherings and dance, there's so little group.
Yeah. Work.
Work. I mean, it.
With common.
Yeah, where anybody cares what happens.
Yeah. It's a spin off from the freestyle.
So that, yeah, so it's like. It's just a learning
yeah.
curve to.
Yeah.
Try and get the ensemble.
Yeah.
And a kind of. This kind of constant feedback. And looking at the whole.
Yeah.
But then after that, all hell can break loose. And of course, for as performance material, it would be much more exciting with a lot more rebellious activity.
You would encourage.
Well, I know that it would be more exciting with rebellious activity. But it's also more predictable. That unpredictability has a certain predictability and a kind of cleverness that
uh-huh.
I just
uh-huh.
find less interesting or more predictable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think someone else could do it really well. I mean, with the score.
Chapter one.
Yeah, chapter one. I mean, if in that group, I mean, a group with Franz and Mark and number of other people, I think they get a lot of good rebellion. But, like Franz, when he watched one of the sessions, it was great. He was much more a stickler. He wanted a much more rigorous.
He wanted
to be more, you know, he wanted those reverses to be really well done. He wanted the rules to be really, really followed very clearly. I think before he would want to break them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
it's a learning curve or something. There are mechanical skills to teach yourself. Also, just physical, mechanical, organizational skills in your body to play, you know, to play intelligently. I think once the intelligence of the system becomes clear, then the playtime can be very, a lot of fun.
I'm
imagining it.